Let's pray together. God, we thank you for welcoming us into this place this morning, into your peace, and into the joy that we know through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. We pray this morning in a world that is pretty far from joy and peace, that you will make your joy and peace evident to us, even for a moment, as we gather here together to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple of weeks ago, while still in anticipation of Christmas, I was sitting in my office working on this very sermon. And as you can imagine, during the Christmas season, there were all kinds of people coming in and out of the office, and the school was getting ready for Christmas programs, and I kind of felt like the Grinch with all the noise. And because I was writing and studying and praying like a monk in search of a cave, I kindly and gently shut my door, went over to my CD player. And those of you who don't know what a CD player is, ask your parents to take you to the Smithsonian Museum and they'll show you one. Still have one in my office. Put on Bach's Brandenburg Concertos, which is kind of my getaway peace music. Put those on. And I opened my Bible to Luke 2. The story of the birth of Jesus. If you've ever read the story of the birth of Jesus, you know that two things stand out. Joy and peace. Both are named by name in the story of the birth of Jesus in Luke 2. You have stuff about joy, you have stuff about peace. And as you're sitting there reading Luke 2, especially in the confines of a quiet office with Bach in the background, it sounds very nice. You have all this talk of joy and all this talk of peace. But as I sat there reading Luke 2 with Bach in the background, words of joy and peace in the confines of a quiet office with a shut door and no interruptions, it occurred to me very suddenly. It wasn't one of those gradual realizations. It was a sudden realization that that moment was as far from the birth of Jesus as could have possibly been. Because if you know anything about the birth of Jesus, not the pictures that we just saw, you know the ones. You have this barn out in the middle of nowhere, and it's dark except for this gigantic star. And you have this woman who does not look like she's just given birth. And you have this man standing to the side, looking all nice and comfortable, not confused. And you have these animals. That's not what the birth of Jesus looked like. I remember the first time I ever went to Bethlehem. The real place. First time I ever went to Bethlehem, it was so unsettling. Because it was at 10 o'clock in the morning. And the way I'd always pictured Bethlehem is probably the way that you always pictured Bethlehem. Dark, manger, star. It's not what Bethlehem looked like. Sun was shining. It was 90 degrees. There was no star other than the gigantic sun beating down on us, people coming and begging. Bethlehem's a poor city. And there's lots of begging and lots of anxiousness and anticipation. Me and a bunch of other preachers who were sent there on a sabbatical are sitting on the bus, and people are coming onto the bus trying to sell us stuff. One guy got on, and he was selling purses that said Bethlehem and had the Church of the Nativity. Like cheap needlepoint. And I thought, oh, Reese will like one of those. How much? And he said, one for $2 and two for $5. I said, I don't think you understand the way this works. I'll take one. And the world that Jesus is born into was probably Not a barn by itself out in the middle of nowhere, but most likely it was in a basement. And that basement was not joy and peace. It was not peace and quiet. That basement more likely was filled with a bunch of travelers coming to the Jerusalem area who couldn't get into Jerusalem because it was so crowded. And so they went 6 miles down the mountain to Bethlehem to one of the few places that they could find to sleep at night. And it was a basement filled with lots of other poor, loud people and animals. And so you think about Jesus' birth ushering in something new, something different than what the people had experienced up to that point. Jesus' birth ushers in something new. In fact, it was so new that it took the voice of the heavenly host to put it in motion. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom He favors. This was so out of the ordinary that it took a voice from heaven to announce it. And then another voice from heaven, maybe the same one, said something else. Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy. And we forget that sometimes. We forget that that's how it started. You ever forget that? Do you think about this line? Do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy every morning when you wake up. You think about this line when you're driving to work. You think about this line when you're going to bed at night. I don't. I forget this all the time. I forget this that started it all, which is why at the end of the Advent season on this first Sunday of Christmas, it's so important for us to say this out loud because we forget, right? I mean, I'm not alone in this, right? You ever forget this line? You ever forget that this is where it all started? So all the more reason to read the whole story. So let's hear the whole thing. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus, that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom He favors." Now, to be sure, this is not the whole story. There's more. Before this appearance of God's joy and peace, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, that's where the story begins. God created the heavens and the earth, and from that point up until the birth of Jesus, well, let's just say there was a whole lot of not joy and not peace. Because think about it, from the very beginning, all the way back to the book of Genesis, to the primeval narrative, Genesis 1 through 11, four people are on earth according to that story at the very beginning, and 25% of the world's population, murderer. From the very beginning, not joy, not peace. You trace the story forward past that. After the ark, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You ever read the story arc of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Not joy, not peace. Stories of the captives in Egypt. Oh. You can easily say about that story arc, not joy, not peace. And you think that once the people escape that kind of bondage and go out into the wilderness with God, they would find joy and peace, right? Wrong. Because most of the people, while they were wandering around in the presence of God on the way to the promised land, who should have been totally focused on joy and peace, said, let's go back to Egypt. At least we had something to eat back there. We didn't have to eat manna pancakes every single day. No joy, no peace. And then they get to the promised land. Everything's going to be great. Smooth sailing from that point forward. Nope. Anything but. And then it's not that long after they get into the promised land that the kingdom, it's supposed to be the kingdom that God established. The kingdom. And what happens to it? It's split in half. And you have the team in the north, and the team in the south, who are supposed to be a part of the same kingdom, and they can't stand each other. That sound familiar? You think this is anything new? Same kingdom. Can't stand each other. And what happens from there? More not joy, more not peace. Assyria, the kingdom off to the east, swoops in, grabs the youngest men, takes them out first. Books of Amos and Hosea describe that scene as carrying the young men, literally dragging them through the deserts by hooks in their chests. It was a terrible scene, as far from not joy and not peace as you can imagine. This terrible moment in the history of God's people. And it just kept happening. All the way to where they come home from exile and they establish a second temple, and Jesus is born into a world right after the Persians and the Spartans and the rise of the Roman Empire, which if you know anything about the Roman Empire, they weren't really that into peace. And that's the world Jesus was born into. It wasn't reading Luke 2 in a comfortable office, box Brandenburg concertos, manger, star. No. It's into that world that Jesus was born. And then came joy and peace. For a minute. But we know that's not the whole story either. Because after Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, many people have tried to take the world back to lowest common denominator. Because you know the Roman Empire that I mentioned a moment ago? It didn't last. They thought it would. They thought they were invincible. Didn't last. It fell. Which eventually gave rise to an even larger behemoth that was as far from joy and peace as you can imagine. You ever heard of the Holy Roman Empire? The one that was not holy, not Roman, and not an empire? They weren't into joy. They weren't into peace. Then you have all these wars between Christians and other nations. And then here's where it gets close to home. The stories of the rise of division in Christianity that most of us who grew up in the Western world know all too well. My guess is that represented in this room at this moment, if not in our own personal lives, within extended family and friends, we could probably, if we went around the room, name, 20, 50, maybe 100 different Christian groups that me or my extended family might have some association with. You think that number is too out there? Oh dear. The story after Jesus is not one of joy and peace. Except on days like today, when it is. A moment like this moment, where we are gathered together in this place, experiencing the joy and peace that we know through God. When we look around the room and resist fear, when we say no to all kinds of division, when we hear the faint voice of heaven still cascading through time, proclaiming what we need to hear even more today than we did back then. Do not be afraid. I am coming to bring you good news of great joy. We need to hear that today. It is even more relevant today than when it was first spoken. You will hear this week, next week, and the next messages that will tell you to be afraid. Messages that are going to attempt to strip you of the joy of Christ that we have just finished this entire month proclaiming. But the word of the Lord today encourages us to rebel, to resist, to refuse the temporary language in exchange for the eternal. Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy. Some days you will be surrounded. You'll be surrounded by the noise of the world, and you will go looking for peace and quiet. Other days we will witness the 24-hour cycle of human tragedy. Mass shootings, tears of strangers in the street surrounded by police, draped in tactical gear in the lights from sirens. Days when those strangers could be our mothers and daughters, our sons and fathers. And on those days, we will continue to speak the truth, even when our voices shake. Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy. And there in the presence of the living Jesus, we hear one more promise, another promise. And on earth, peace. The voices of panic will shout. People talking without speaking. People listening without hearing. Which is all the more reason for those of us who dare to say Jesus is Lord in a world like this. All the more reason for us to listen and then to speak. And with God as my witness, we will say today, tomorrow, and in the days to come, and on earth, peace. It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now? Amen.